This is Michelada Monday, and it's not a real Michelada if it's not made with Modelo. Modelo Especial, brewed with the highest quality ingredients for a taste that's pure gold.
Solo voy con mi pena, sola va mi condena. Correré mi destino para burlar la ley. Perdido en el corazón de la grande Babilón. Me dicen el clandestino por no llevar papel. Pa' una ciudad del norte yo me fui a trabajar. Mi vida la dejé entre Ceuta y Gibraltar. Soy una raya en el mar. Fantasma.
The revolution that takes place in your head. Nobody will ever see that.
Petros and Money on AM 570 LA Sports.
In the game.
We are your home of the Dodgers. No Dodger game today, but we are also your home for NFL football, which means we have the Monday nighter between the Jets and Browns, so we will be off the air at 5 p.m. today.
No flex alert.
No flex.
Today because of Eric Dickerson's show, but we will have some flexes later in the week, I think in particular Wednesday and Thursday. We will have some flexes, but not today because of the Eric Dickerson show. Dodgers are off tonight, 5-game homestand, and we'll be out there tomorrow when the Dodgers take on the Rays. And you know when we get out to the Dodger game, just like everybody else, we're Angelinos, and we like to have a Michelada. But we also celebrate Micheladas on Monday on PMS. It is Michelada Monday on the Petros and Money Show. Happy hour starts at 3, and we're only on for 2 hours because of Monday Night Football tonight.
You better start double fisting then.
This one's hot. This one's hotter.
We only got 2 hours. Make it two.
I got the Negra and the Especial. Double fist. It's not a real Michelada, Matt, if it's not made with Modelo. Modelo Especial is brewed with the highest quality ingredients for a taste. It's puro de oro.
We like to drink our Micheladas like David Vasse likes to interview players in a post-game celebration clubhouse. Double fisting with microphones.
That's right.
And bang.
No goggles.
None.
I don't look him in the eye.
Is Dave having a seizure? No. No, he's okay. Now, Matt, when I got off the plane yesterday morning, I had to go straight for the beach.
Meet you at the beach?
No, I just at the house.
Meet you at the house.
I had to. I needed, because I didn't want to drink hard liquor before the challenge, you know, even though I take a nap. You know, I do have some scruples.
Yeah.
But I went straight for the Modelo, and I had to make myself up a meach.
Homemade meach.
I got needle-deed so hard, and I was so angry.
Omaha to L.A. needle-deed?
Well, here's the deal. Could you kill the poncho? Is that poncho? We've talked about this forever. And Matt is a very savvy traveler who now travels with Team Zisu in his sweatsuit, so they don't...
So nice.
They don't...
I'll go back. I went back of the plane, four seats, laid out, passed out for 2 hours.
So, you know, we don't talk as much about it with Matt, although he does travel commercial with the Lapers sometimes when he's not on the Bolts plane, Air Spanakopita. But, and it is a flying triangle of spinach and feta cheese.
That's right.
Let's go Bolts.
Look, that's the shape of a wing.
Let's go Bolts. But I have had a terrible time in the college football world when I fly American, and Angelinos can relate with this, because of the effing remote gate at American Airlines. F you forever, American Airlines. Matt has often called the 5 freeway on this air
a civic failure.
A civic failure. But you, American Airlines, have no excuse. You're a corporation, and you have no excuse. Build a better terminal at LAX that can house all the planes. Now, here's the deal, Matt.
You shouldn't have to take a bus next to a plane to a terminal that has no business having an existence.
What about the hour-long taxiing? The hour of taxiing! Now, let's listen.
To get your needle D to that BS gate where you now have to wait in line for a bus like it's the freaking Viper?
When I flew out, it was a dream. I went to the Kohl's. I ate a French dip. I drank a whiskey and a beer and got on the plane in the normal gates and flew to Omaha.
As any travel experience should be.
Every single one.
Note that the and then may be behind you.
I'm sitting there in Omaha, and I'm sitting with Andy.
Somewhere in middle America.
Exactly. Right to the heart of matters, I'm sitting with Andy Kavanaugh, and he goes, and you know, all these Fox guys that travel around for years, baseball, basketball. He's looking at his phone, he goes, oh, we got the remote gate. And I was like, what are you talking about? I rolled in, no remote gate, brother, we're good. Omaha goes right to the thing. He goes, not this one. This one goes to the remote gate.
Yeah.
And I was like, F you, it goes to the remote gate. He goes, and it gets in at 9. I said, no, it won't. There's a two-hour time difference, and it's a three-hour flight.
Did you have a needle D on the way there?
It was needly, but it wasn't.
Was it as needly as the needly that you took back?
No.
Okay.
So once we get on that needle D, and I
you're
see
like, F.
One row has one seat, and I'm like, oh, no. So this thing, okay, so I get it. We're going to the remote gate. I can live with that. And it lands, and the guy goes, we're here early. I go, no S, we're here early. It's a three-hour flight with a two-hour time difference. You guys just say you're going to be super late because that's how bad you suck.
So you're on time.
So you're sitting, we're here early, so.
We got to wait for our gate to open up.
An hour. 1 hour to get out and be treated like a freaking cow to slaughter and then herded onto a bus.
Or you got to wait in line to get on that bus.
Oh.
And you see that bus leave, and they're like, nope, can't take anymore. You're like, okay, when's the next one come up? 20 minutes. F you.
It is
F you.
American. And I always promise everybody on the bus, I say, I will attack these people. I will attack them, and they will be attacked. And look, I don't want to blame the poor people. They must be the worst workers at the airport to have them sent out to pasture like that. I mean, how much do you have to suck at airport work to be sent to the American Airlines Needle D terminal? How sad does
not
your life
not even running
have?
Water. There's just a hole in the ground you crap in, and you got to kick. There's a big pile of dirt next to it, and you just kick dirt on top of your poop.
That's how the guys feel in the little luxury lounge. They're like, what is this? What is this, China?
Kidding me.
What is this, Shanghai? Son of a bitch. But I just.
There is no worse LA. Look, there's a lot of bad LA experiences going on right now. Delta, because their terminal is being redone, now has two terminals. You have to walk and check your luggage in Terminal 3. And then because it does not connect with Terminal 2, have to go outside, walk back to Terminal 2 to get to your gate.
But you don't have to get in a bus.
You don't have to get
into
a bus.
I'll get into a bus in Europe. I'll get into a bus in a third world country. I'll get into a bus because I go, well, you know, we're paying for the experience here. But damn it all, I live in this city, and I am not going to get on a Needle D plane bus. And, well, I am... But it's total BS. It is an absolute.
No, you have. Listen.
I could have got out of that plane, hopped the fence, and walked.
Yes, you could have. And you would have been tased.
I would have been killed in the tarmac.
You would have been cattle prodded, tased, and then.
What is that? Is that a turd out there on the tarmac? No, that's just Petros. He died.
He thought he was.
He died doing what he loved, acting entitled at the airport.
Now, can you? Because when you work at a big time corporation, a media conglomerate like Fox, you got that traveler profile. Can't you put number one priority is not first class. It is not an aisle. It is not, I need my American points so I can get status. It's no needle D's.
No needle D's.
If you see a flight that either takes off or lands at that needle D terminal.
I don't even want to be near a needle D.
You book me out of Long Beach. And I'll go through Salt Lake, or I'll go through another hub.
Well, that's a
thing.
And
I'll freaking make it happen because I ain't doing it.
I submit this to you then. Is it better to get needle-deed like that and sit on the tarmac or just go through Denver? Like, what's better? Like, it's almost a question.
I never thought I would say it, but LAX has done me so dirty so many times the last 2 years, I don't even F with it anymore.
Well, you know I have to go to LAX.
I know you do.
I live too close. So I submit to you.
I would rather
connect or needle D through the needle D terminal. And F you, American, for that being your solution. Build a bigger terminal.
I'd rather connect. Because I won't be as upset.
If you miss the connection.
If I miss the connection, I'm in Denver. It's like, hey, whatever. There's a 10 o'clock that goes out, and it's a pretty sweet place. They can do the steaks and stuff, whatever that name is. The mountain range restaurant or something. They got good booze.
And you get Matt always gets leather and always leather gets goods. Turquoise at Spirit of the Red Horse.
You can do that as well.
Loves the Spirit of the Red Horse.
Whatever, F it. I'll take Southwest through Denver.
And Matt does have a Life is Good shirt. Matt is an airport shopper.
I do have a Life is Good. And it's got a picture of a black lab and a beer. And it says, man's best friends life is good.
Yeah, Matt woke up old. He's got a Sergeant Leisure hat.
I got a sweet suede jacket with a wool collar. Let me tell you, you find some great bargains in the airport.
Oh, unbelievable.
I mean, you would not believe. I got a Cutino Mobley Clippers jersey I picked up last year.
I just want to say, F you, American Airlines, for thinking that that is a real solution.
I'm with you.
Air travel is really expensive, and it's difficult enough.
And how early was that on Sunday? Or was that Saturday afternoon?
It was Sunday morning, yeah. And it's like, dude, the plane landed at 8. I got to my car at 9:15, 9:30.
That'll
put you in a mood.
Certainly.
It'll put you in a real snood. And then you come home, and your wife's like, well, your kids did this while you were gone, and my head hurts, and F you for this. And it's just like, you know, I should have stayed on the tarmac. I should have just tried to jump out of the plane and been shot and died like a turd on the tarmac, the turd that I am.
No, what upsets me, I'll say this. What upsets me more than anything, because look, if there's a plane in the gate, F you, American, but there's a plane in the gate. There's nothing you can do.
There's got to be another gate.
So either they got an add a gate, which they can't do, or they...
How do you know what they can and can't do? They're American Airlines. No, they got America's in their name.
It runs through LAX. You got to buy gates and all that sort of stuff.
Hey, I grew up at the harbor. I watched the Yang Ming dock grow. I watched the Evergreen dock. I watched China shipping explode.
I get more upset by the bus. If I got to wait for two different buses.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, you can add a bus.
And they cut you off. Do I want to pack in here like Port-au-Prince, Haiti? Kind of.
Hey, I'm sorry.
I don't want to stand here for another 15 goddamn minutes.
I'm sorry you can't walk. And you're in a wheelchair. But F you.
Oh, no.
I've been standing in this line too long for your effing BS, pre-board, I'm handicapped, I get to go on that bus first and take up four spots.
Now, Matt.
Get out of here.
You're important.
No, I'm not.
You work for an NFL team. I call games on cable television, and I will kick the crutches from a cripple to get it to my car 5 minutes early. And watch out for me. If you see me in the Needle D terminal, consider me like a freaking loose cannon, like Kanye West. I might take your Emmy and scream at you or something.
Where's your next game?
I just got my assignment this morning.
Where are you going?
Well, I'm off this week.
Okay.
As you know.
So you got a week.
And by the way.
Cleanse the palate. It's the sorbet week.
Anybody want to hire me for anything this week? I'm good. You guys got a cat juggling thing in Fontana or anything? I will go out and call it, and I will let you know what my rate is. So I am wide open this week. So let me know. You guys want me to call like a remote control car race or just come over and
a little robot wars?
Yeah, I'll do play by play while you play Mario Kart with your friends. You let me know because I am wide open this week and I'm bringing the Modelo Micheladas.
Football season's for working.
That's right. I'm here to work.
Not for resting. It's
no,
for working.
No, it is not for resting.
Week in, week out.
No, Matt. And my phlegm is not bright green enough. I need to work enough to where it gets almost nuclear fluorescent.
So you need to. You need to get to the point in the season where you start thinking about smoking. Where when you're sitting
when the chips are really down.
When they're really down and there's someone outside that bar you're having a drink at and they're smoking and you're like, yeah, I could probably bum one of them.
I could do that.
I could probably bum one of them smokes right
and
now.
And I'd smoke the whole thing with my face and my hand.
I think I would probably get away with that.
Yeah.
So you have nothing this week. What about next week?
I just got my assignment and it is a Pac-12 after dark matchup. And watch what happens here. You're going to love this. It is Washington State at Utah. Two ranked teams.
No Needle D.
No, it's not a Needle D.
No Needle D. No chance of Needle D.
No Needle
D. No Needle D. You're taking Delta.
Even if I don't
Delta
care.
Direct.
I don't even care if it's Needle-y. I'll die in the air.
Just don't take me to that terminal.
Just keep me out of the Needle D terminal.
It's only American. American is the only Needle D that has, that Needle D terminal.
And
all the other Needle
D's.
That's
why I hate American.
Yeah. So why don't you just say, never fly me American?
Because I'd rather be home earlier and kick the crutches from a cripple if it means I can get. But if I'm going to sit on the tarmac for an hour and a half and be herded into a bus like I'm on my way to Chino rolling in the Grey Goose, shackled from head to toe, then I'll feel a lot differently.
Maybe just start farting up a storm.
And Matt, I want to thank you. Let me try to do that.
See what happens.
Let's see how quick we get out of here. Crossed into sophomoric there, Matt, with the farting.
He always does.
I will say this,
Don't
Matt.
Take the bait, P.
I will say this. Thank you for not doing what everybody else did today.
Which is?
When I told him I had that game. Well, that's actually a pretty good game. Thank you for not doing that. As if I'm not a person that calls. Just because you do one Rutgers.
Hey, what happened last year in Northern v. Nebraska? What happened in that game?
2 years ago.
Exactly right.
Yeah, they beat them.
Right.
Not this year.
No, this year Nebraska got their revenge.
Yeah, Nebraska took the Husky and put him to sleep.
A little bit.
They held him in their arms.
Choked him out with a corn husk.
They stroked him. They stroked his head.
Right there. It's a good game. Utah, Wazoo.
And Utah plays USC at the Collie this week, right? And then Wazoo plays UCLA in Pullman this week. So do you think...
Good scouting there.
You think Utah? Thanks.
Good scouting.
Utah. Good pre-scout.
Give me two.
It's not going to have a real job. So Utah is taking on USC.
Which one are you going to go to?
I'm going to fly up to Pullman.
I want to see what my own two.
Scout it out, yeah. Scout it out. Yeah. I will be at neither.
Well, yeah, you'll have another job.
Yeah, exactly. I'm open.
Call it something.
Who wants me? Anybody getting married?
I'm sure they're swimming.
$1,000. I'll marry you. But you got to do the online stuff.
Yeah,
Kate.
Issue your life.
SC Utah, I believe, is on Friday night at the Coliseum.
That's right.
Yeah.
Friday night, yeah. That's a Fox game. That's Brock Huard and our friend Joe Davis. And my cousin in the truck doing graphics, Anthony Papadakis.
There we go.
UCLA Washington State, Saturday night, under the lights.
At Martin Stadium.
On?
Espen.
Espen, okay.
7:30 kickoff.
Both Espen. Fox and Espen. No Pac-12, though. UCLA for all the nation to see. On display against another high-powered offense. Oh, by the way, we did not set up the show, and everything that is going to be on the show today, as I was walking out of the other studio where we were taking care of some business that we had to clean up.
We had to do some voting commercials.
Voting commercials. I had to say to Cates, because I just figured it'd be kind of funny, hey, Cates, who's coming on the show today? Because we have a short 2-hour show.
Did he act all hard?
What was my response?
Kate, you tell me what is the more dated and upsetting reference that Kate's dropped. He said, oh, we got Joe. And I said, Joe Mama? Yeah. And these. Yeah, these.
Joe Mama?
These nuts, huh? Yeah. So he gave me a Joe Mama.
He did both?
He gave me both Joe Mama and these nuts. Kate's came with both. Just to, hey, if you want to go 90s or if you want to go 80s, I got a Joe Mama for you. If you want to go 90s, I got a these nuts. You take your pick, because those are the two dudes that are coming on today.
Well, I've always found Joe Mama to be pretty informational.
Certainly.
These nuts, on the other hand, bad phone. You know, he's down there in your drawers, and it's hard to hear from him. My cousin tried to drop one on me. It was so sad. My cousin Chris, whose coach at San Jose State who ran him off after a month, John Ralston, just passed away. Former coach at Denver. Never been the better alive guy birthday of the day here. So.
We're good.
Because he was alive up until, you know, would never be the dead guy.
Gotcha.
And RIP.
Rick Ocasek.
Ocasek and Eddie Money, especially we talked a lot about on Friday. Friend.
Terrible.
But my cousin once said, you know, hey, what about your cousin Famunda? And I was like, whoo, what's what? He's like, Famunda, these nuts. And I was like, Famunda?
Really? See how much Gates likes that?
Gates loved that
clapping.
One. He started clapping like a seal.
Right?
God, what a tool.
Joe Mama. And D. These nuts.
Yeah. You got him.
Got me good.
We're going to do college football next. USC lost to the Mormons. And then we're going to do NFL.
Oh, God, no.
The Chargers lost to the freaking car builders.
Son of a bitch.
Hey, but you still
have... Hey, city needed hope.
You still got Galpin, and I still have Chevy, you know?
There's that. You know, last night in the ninth inning, Rick and Tim told you the owning.com player of the game. Do you remember... That was. If you do, dial us now, 866-987-2570. First person to call, identify the player. The owning.com player of the game, you win $100. Courtesy of owning.com. Owning.com, bringing trust and simplicity to both real estate and mortgage. It is Michelada Monday, Modelo. Michelada Monday on PMS. We roll until 5 p.m. and we hand it over to somebody that will take you to
Jim
kick
Gray.
Off. Jim Gray. Jim Gray will take you to kickoff between the Browns and the Jets. It is not a real michelada, but it is not made with Modelo. Modelo Especial, brewed with the highest quality ingredients for a taste that's pure gold.
Puro del oro.
It is a football Monday because we're your football show.
Super foos.
Which means we need to get to a top story of the day.
Yeah. Top story of the day. We'll do the pros next hour. USC coughed up a game in overtime. That's no big surprise. Congrats to BYU players, coaches, and fans. When I was at SC, if you were underage and you won, you try to sneak into a strip club or a bar. At BYU, you win, you celebrate with your wife.
Two kids.
Yeah.
You're living with the in-laws.
It's different. Everybody with a LaCroix. That was the first loss of 2019 for USC. Some people thought that they would go undefeated. And the Trojans did it in a classic fashion, Matt, that we have become accustomed to here. The team looks good in its early possessions and scores first.
And then?
The opponent consistently works its way back into the game, building momentum off USC mistakes. By the second half, the Trojans suffer from a lack of confidence, and usually they get rolled over. Even a bad Fresno State team had USC on its heels in Game 1 a few weeks ago. Now, of course, among those Trojan mistakes I just mentioned, we do have, Matt, for the first time in our history.
Feels like the first time.
The Clay Helton trifecta.
Is that right?
It's going to feel like the first time, but it will sound like a familiar song to you. Number one, a special teams blunder.
I'm a horse.
USC got penalized for a flying wedge formation on a kick return that Stephen Carr returned to the 50-yard line. Instead, USC took over its own 11.
We're not used to seeing special teams blunders.
No, and Keaton Slovis threw an interception three snaps later that led to a BYU field goal. Two, a defensive breakdown versus a mobile quarterback. Fourth quarter, leading 24-20, USC allowed BYU quarterback Zach Wilson to do a 360 spin, avoid a sack, 12 yards behind the line of scrimmage, move forward in the pocket, 35-yard completion downfield. Two plays later, he ran in the go-ahead touchdown from 16 yards out. And three, a horrible penalty. Just different than the special teams blunder, which was a penalty.
It was a big penalty.
An even more horrible penalty. 40 seconds left in the fourth quarter, 27 up. USC receiver Michael Pittman called for offensive pass interference. The penalty moved USC back to their own 10, and instead of hoping for a long field goal attempt in the altitude to win the game, the penalty forced the game into overtime. Now, that Helton trifecta has become all too familiar to USC fans and followers. It does not, in fact, feel like the first time, although it's the first time we've called it the Helton trifecta. And you can box it, or you
want to box it, you want to baseball it, you want to key. What I would do personally is I would key the special teams blunder and then attach the other two just to ensure that you got that special teams blunder keyed, because that's coming.
Special teams blunder, key defensive breakdown, horrible penalty. Those three things happen in almost every USC game, whether they win or lose. In 2016 and 2017, Sam Darnold covered up a lot of those zits. He did. He was a real concealer. In 2018 and 2019, Darnold not on the team.
Which means there's no more hugs on the sideline.
There is no There's no one to erase the staples of the Helton system. At the end of a possession, at the end of the game, or the end of the season, the majority of untimely missed assignments, mistakes, and penalties are the result of a lack of effort and a lack of discipline.
What about Slovis? Slovis.
Drop eight, and then you get home with a three-man rush? What do you think is going to happen, for God's sakes? I mean, better athletes, better execution, and better schemes. They all affect every play. But the glaring mistakes that change college games, and part of it is what makes college football great, usually they're chalked up to you're young, or you don't have discipline, or you don't have focus, or you don't have effort. And then you mix in the intangibles like confidence and belief and a bunch of crazy white-armed Mormons in the freaking crowd LDSing it up.
Oh, Provo was rocking.
Every mistake you make.
Provo was rocking.
And you lose that belief, you lack confidence, you lack belief. Well, then you've got all the answers. After losing in Provo Saturday, I couldn't tell if the post-game comments from Clay Helton were new ones or just excised by the reporters from last year's games. His pattern of saying,
he did drop a damn just, this time.
Well,
the damn refs.
A, he always compliments the opposing coach, which is a classy move.
Classy move.
Kalani Sitake and his staff did a nice job.
It's a classy move.
But then Helton goes into his layered explanations of the loss, usually a four-phase thing, regardless of the questions asked. Phase one, Clay uses phrases like on the road and in overtime.
And
in a non-league game.
Right.
Several times.
What's the big deal?
As if people covering him and the people will want to hear his comments don't know that already, but they're all little built-in subliminal excuses. So if you're a Trojan fan and you want to make it positive, you can say, well, you know, they're on the road. And, you know, it is a non-league game.
I would like to suggest, and because you're a football man and I am not, I don't know if you would get to this, but can we have someone coach Clay up when it comes to facial expressions? Can we coach the, I look like the dumbest man on the field right now off of his face?
As a slack-mouthed man myself, there is no helping him.
It is, of the 60 minutes of play
he's
that he's out there,
Matt.
40 minutes of it is slack jaw, mouth slightly agape.
And you don't think the directors of the world know that, Matt? You don't think they know that he's got that look on his face and they want to go over there?
Stop.
So number one, Clay always uses those weird little things like in a non-league game.
I don't know what the big deal is.
Phase two, he always talks about how proud he is of his players and how big of warriors they are.
Okay.
I mean, they are football players. That's what they do.
Warriors big.
Warriors big.
Phase three, he either directly mentions how young the team is or alludes to the learning these guys will get from the game, which indirectly implies youth. We're still young, and what we've done with these young
players. Do I expect
them
to be great in week three? No.
We are learning with every game. And then phase four, he caps off the losing press conference by saying how excited the whole team is to get back out on the field for the next opportunity. That's right.
Back-to-back Utah.
We heard that seven times last year, and Saturday we heard it for the first of probably many in 2019, especially when USC posted on their Twitter account, we are so young. Now, I'm not saying I disagree with what Helton is saying.
Hey, little boy right there.
We are young and we are small.
You see that quarterback? That's a little boy.
I mean, you can say
he's 18.
This formula's worked out for him, right?
Free pass, right?
You say as little as possible, and I commend him. This guy's going to get $23 million if or when USC lets go of him or if he coaches out this contract. But for me, I prefer something more real and thoughtful and not the rhetorical and political stuff. And my God, don't tell me you're young. And look, I expect him to deal with things a little bit differently. Special team blunders, defensive breakdown, horrible penalties. Answer to those, for God's sakes.
What do you think of the accusations that he took over play calling in overtime?
And, well, you know, it's interesting.
I did not, and I will defend Graham Harrell's play calling to the death.
First, I just want to say the Trojans send their quarterback, Keaton Slovis, who's a true freshman, into a three-game stretch versus number 10 Utah. And if you think the Polynesian guys from BYU are mean and they hit hard, where do you get a load of Ty Whittingham's guys?
Yeah, but they're not in Utah. They got to do that in California.
Yeah, I know, but he's mad.
They don't have the Wasatch there to protect them.
Maybe, but then you got Washington.
Well, yeah, but that's it.
By the lake.
Yeah.
And then you got to go to Notre Dame.
Well, they're not very good. It's a tough three-game stretch.
It is, and who do you have doing it?
So
your true freshman quarterback who just threw three picks. Now, don't tell me you're young when you ran off Jack Sears and Matt Fink is sitting there on the side. Well, he's a young quarterback, and he's learning. Okay. Well, you're going to be 0-4 in the next four games, Clay. Is that okay?
That'd be my question. Even if you beat BYU, if they get embarrassed by Utah, Notre Dame, and Washington, really doesn't matter, right? I mean, it's these next three games. If you are outclassed by, I don't want to say elite, but very good teams, then you're screwed. You're done. Like, it doesn't. Okay, great. Congratulations. You beat BYU in overtime. Way to go.
Right.
Pelt on the wall for Keaton Slovis. Everybody's happy.
Yeah, you overcame adversity.
Right. And destroys you. Doesn't matter. Right?
Well, you run off a guy that is older, you won't play the other guy. You can't say how young you are and how young the quarterback is when he goes out and throws three picks and should have had five. Now, as far as your accusation goes, which is a great topic after every USC game, especially when they lose, because it's always really muddy. Like, who called that play? Who was it? Was it me? Was it my brother Tyson? Who is it? Was it Graham Harrell? And Graham Harrell left the game afterwards without talking to the media, and even Clancy Pendergast, who could put a hot dog to sleep, spoke to the media after the BYU game. But Graham Harrell did not. He stormed off.
You know why? Oh, Clay took them plays back, man. Harrell's like, hey, F you. I'm going to go down.
That is the
accusation.
I'm going
to go down with the slow of a ship.
But Clay said.
You'll be screwing me up.
Clay said, listen.
I thought Graham called a
great
game.
Graham called the whole thing.
Let me ask you a question. What percentage of Clay's high school teammates and friends do you think watch USC football games and just look at one another and go, can you believe
$20 million.
That this guy, of all our friends and teammates, that this was the guy.
To be fair.
That got the USC. Can you believe that that was the guy?
He's had a life in football. And for all of the articles that were written about how Graham Harrell's a great coach, there's a reason he was at North Texas, guys. There's a reason Clay, best job he ever had was 2 years as a coordinator at Memphis, and then he was fired. And then he was at, I believe it was Alabama State or South Alabama.
Powerhouse.
And Kiffin took over, and he needed a non-threatening offensive guy to work with his quarterbacks, and that was Clay Helton. And now he's the head USC coach, and he's going to get $23 million when it's all said and done or something like that.
It's a Machiavellian tale.
Do not. It is. It truly is, Matt.
And just wait till Lane plants a seed. Somehow he's going to know the person that's the next athletic director that's going to fire Clay Helton, and you're going to get something on Lane's Twitter.
Oh, yeah, it'll be.
You know.
Well, there's a lot of people that'll be pretty interested, because that's the other thing. You know what Clay's thinking. They can't fire me with the staff I've built. Who the hell's going to be the assistant? Who's going to be the head coach? Can't get rid of me. That's going to buy me a couple more games.
You know, Clancy could put a hot dog to sleep.
Yeah, he could.
You can't
Clancy Pendergast can't be your head coach because he won't talk to people. So that's a problem with coaching.
That's got to be why Graham Harrell stormed off, right? Because Clay took the plays back.
That's the theory, and it certainly makes sense. And it would be, to answer your question without being elusive, it would be right in step with all the other controversy as far as who called what play. T. Martin, you know, all the stuff down the stretch.
I'm going to call him inside the red zone.
Remember Sam Darnold got very frustrated in his second year? Like, why are we doing this? Why is the offense this way?
And I have nine voices in my head.
And then all the play calling started to get all – when things get messed up, And that was the most disturbing thing if you're a USC fan for the next 3 weeks is, okay, a lot of people like to drop eight against an air raid. I saw Todd Graham do it, not even against an air raid, against Ben Olsen's UCLA team.
Ooh.
When he was the Rice coach,
talk
for God's sake.
Pulling a name.
I mean, but it screwed up Ben. Like, at Ben's first game I did on national TV, which was Eric Weddle versus Eric Weddle's Utah team when Kyle Whittingham was still in the Mountain West. And Ben looked great, and they beat Utah, and everybody was like, they found him. There he is, the number one recruit in the country. Carl Durrell got his guy. Just like Slovis.
Drop eight.
The next week, what happens? Rice comes in and almost beats UCLA, dropping eight guys. Here's the disturbing thing about what happened with SC. Okay, SC runs an air raid. These guys dropped eight guys right at the sticks, really disrupted things, picked off three balls, probably could have had five. But the worst part about it was they got home after Slovis and sacked him and got after his ass and hit him a bunch with a three-man rush. Because you do the math. If you've dropped eight, you got three left, and they're going to be counting five bananas and rushing the quarterback. That's how football works. I'm an analyst.
Or banana.
Or Mississippi, whichever you prefer.
Sure. Alligator. Crocodile. Take your pick. Three syllables.
So there you go. That really disturbed me. I was like, okay, yeah, they're dropping eight, and it screwed up the freshman. Not shocked. But they're getting home with a three-man rush, and the freshman's running around scared, not just staring at the secondary. That was disturbing.
Well, when they beat Utah.
They might.
Slovis is celebrated as a conquering hero again.
Yeah, he is. And then when they go up to Washington and lose.
You know, Clay is not going to tell you how impressed he is with that victory because his team is so young. And who could have ever envisioned a team this young pulling off a victory against a veteran Latin squad?
So proud of these guys.
Like, that will not be settled. So, of course. I mean, you know, USC.
John Baxter's best special teams coach in America.
We're supposed to win these games.
Can you believe what Clay has done with those people in California?
Look, we expect to win these games. We expect to win every game. Why should I be surprised that we beat Utah? I mean, kind of dumb question.
Because the rest of us are, brother. We'll be right back with How Was Your Weekend? Matt was in Detroit.
She loved the dirty rock. Yeah,
yeah. Jorge Modelo. She loved it is Hispanic heritage yeah, moment. Yeah. Time. I would want to give it a pleasure. Featuring Ramon Martinez, who was the youngest player in the National League when he made his Major League debut as a Dodger in 1988. What a year.
I remember that, dude.
Hispanic Heritage Month, AM 570, brought to you by the all-new Chevy Silverado Chevrolet. And your Chevy dealers find new roads. And not only do we love Chevrolet and we love Hispanic Heritage Month and moments, but we love the Modelo Michelada. And it's a Modelo Michelada Monday on PMS. Happy hour starts at 3. It's not a real michelada if you don't have Modelo in it. You can have shrimp or bacon or whatever or not, but you need that Modelo, fool. All right. It is time for How Was Your Weekend?
I'm going to do what I do. The weekend is mine.
So. We've been trading weekdays like the weekend.
How was your weekend?
Matt, you're hot off of Philip Rivers' argument with Don Martin during the break there.
I got it.
Only 40 years old.
I mean, I saw it. I could have thrown a tough. I mean, come on.
You spent the weekend mostly in Detroit?
Detroit, whole weekend. Flew out there Friday. Saturday morning, I watched the early games in the catering room after a workout. I went to the Royal Oak Brewery in the Royal Oak part of town of Detroit with PR mavens Josh and Brock, and Shannon Farron joined us for a couple of pops at the Royal Oak Brewery, which I would recommend. Delicious Kolsch. And they have Kolsch
and by
Saturdays
pops,
there.
You mean Chardonnays.
She had Chardonnays. I had on Saturday.
The Kolsch.
It was they had a pun attached to it, and I cannot remember what it was now. But they had like
you know what,
four
Ben,
different varieties of Kolsch going.
You don't have to be Ben Bolch to enjoy that Kolsch.
That's exactly what it was. All the way out there in Detroit, went to a dinner with our old friend and still our friend of the show, John Paul Morosi, and his lovely wife Alexis. Took us to a place called Selden Standard. Unbelievable Italian food. It was as you would expect from Morosi, born and raised in that part of town.
Right.
Italian family,
what
great
if,
company.
What if he took you to the freaking macaroni grill?
Listen,
hey,
it's a place called Carrabba's, and it is the wait. Do you have the breadsticks? Back to the room. Watched the Arizona Texas Tech game late Sunday morning. Breakfast bus off to Ford Field. Met up with a couple out of town fans from outside Fort Wayne, Indiana. Detroit itself. Tried to meet as many of them as possible. Real treat for us. Kevin Harlan was on the call, and he joined us for the pregame in the booth. What a nice freaking guy.
A nice man.
Love that guy. Could not be nicer. Best in the business, the 2017 Sportscaster of the Year. Crazy schedule, though. He does every single week, either Monday or Thursday on the radio for Westwood One and a Sunday game for CBS. And last week, he had to do the Thursday nighter, a Sunday game, because there was a double and the Monday nighter.
Take one off, Kevin.
Can't help himself. Told some great stories about the NFL. And then, of course, the game was the game. Flight home, slept for a couple hours, drank a little bit because I snuck a bottle of Makers that I purchased at the liquor store.
Nice. Kind of the little one?
Of the block. Yeah, not the...
Nah, I know what you mean.
Yeah. I put that back and then passed out for a couple
the
hours.
The one you're like, hey, if this was the size of my poots, I'd be all right.
I'd be okay.
Yeah,
with that
way. Yeah, this would be okay.
You know,
not the little soldier.
No,
because then you'd be like,
no,
I wouldn't be okay
with
this.
That's not enough.
No, but this one.
This one could make some babies, right. Okay?
$15?
It's like in Detroit?
17.
Like $9.50. Like, yeah, chips are down there, you know? They give the people a discount. They know they got to drink.
Everybody gets the old crow. Cates?
Yo, Saturday, had a great day watching my daughter cheer for a middle school football game. Then it was off to work for Dodger pregame and then UCLA pre and post. Deep into the night.
You worked a lot.
Sunday worked even more. Had Raiders.
Did Jalen Hurts really have 99 yards due to penalties on the very first drive against the Bruins?
That is correct. That was all rushing too. 99 yards rushing in the first drive.
Okay.
First drive.
Well, you know, you just set a tone. sometimes the tone is rope-a-dope. Yeah. You know, you hey, guess what? We're going to give this to you on the first drive.
It's not all DTR.
The coaching innovations that we expect from Chip Kelly.
It's not all DTR. The offensive line is awful for UCLA. And I would say awful. They are awful.
All right.
Sunday had Raiders pre-half and post. In between had a Dodgers pregame and then came back here.
He's an alumnus.
After
Chipotle. He doesn't just do the broadcast.
He's also a reporter, man.
I know.
Had Sunday night Dodger Streams talk crossed, after the game by myself. And then last night watched The Challenge on Channel 4 with my wife from Don
Quixote
in Burbank.
Was the sound up?
No. So we were just watching Petros and Fred.
So
and
you
and
worked
Alicia.
Nine. Literally, you worked. You worked like nine games, mm-hmm. Kevin Harlan style,
yeah.
over the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just sat there at a bar and stared at a TV on mute with your wife.
My wife and I were talking at dinner, catching up on what happened on the weekend. Oh. And as she was talking, I was looking over her left shoulder at the challenge.
Ronnie?
That's some support right there.
Good support. Thank
That's
you,
good support.
No
right
sticker
there.
On your shoe, by the way. You're good.
Thanks.
You're good.
Ronnie?
Had a nice weekend. On Friday evening, my wife and I went out to the Yard House in Burbank for a little dinner and some cocktails. And afterward, we walked around San Fernando by all the little shops there. It was pretty nice. A lively Friday evening, and it was rather balmy. Got up early
it
Saturday morning.
It was balmy
morning.
Over the weekend, Matt. I mean, knows that. But even though you...
I was not here.
You should know that, Matt. It was balmy. Not as balmy as it is
That's
today.
Detroit, yes.
But
Detroit
it was
balmy.
Pretty balmy.
Need a sweater.
On Saturday morning, filled the house with music courtesy of my Sono system and did some household chores for a few hours. Watched some college foosball, went to the market to pick up some Bubba Burgers, a box of Bubba Burgers, some hamburger buns, and some Modelo Especial, pure gold, and barbecued poolside in the evening. On Sunday, yeah. stayed indoors all day to beat the heat watching NFL foosball and the Dodgers,
Ball
and
me.
That was pretty much my weekend.
Foosball. That's it?
Indeed. That was it. P, how was your
Never
weekend?
Never bite a burger better than a Bubba.
No.
That's right.
Tell you
that
right now.
That.
Yeah.
Go get a box right now.
I was in Nebraska.
Yeah.
Lincoln, Nebraska.
Yeah.
Cripplingly nice people. I did yoga in Nebraska twice with Nebraska people, mostly women.
They embrace you?
Very much so.
All right.
Very nice. Actually, I have never been snuck into a yoga class late before in my life because it's just not something that is practiced often in yoga. And I was like, I was late because I didn't read their schedule right. And she was like, no, I'll just sneak you in. I was like,
sweet.
Oh, for real? And she did. God bless her. Thank you, Vanessa. Coach Frost was very nice. Troy Walters from Stanford, who I played against, is their OC. A great guy. The old Minnesota Viking. Coach Chinander, the old linebacker from Iowa, is their D coordinator. So it was nice to see all the Nebraska guys. And Frost was shockingly nice also, which I did not expect.
Did not show in his facial expressions.
No.
Very dour look on his face regularly.
Always. And
a serious man.
A lipper.
Oh, nice.
Oh, come on now. I told you about the Needle D in the first hour, but I did get to see the greatest. Talk about a guy that does, this guy does 8 games a week, like something ridiculous. He's Joe Buck's stat guy, but he works for everybody else. That's how I got to know him years ago. I saw Ed Sfida at the airport, and I tweeted a picture of him and I, and a lot of people thought it was Robert Downey Jr.
He does look a little bit like Robert Downey.
It was
Downey.
Ed Sfida, everybody. Stat rock star, Ed Sfida. So, and my brother and
Robert
his...
and I have a very good relationship, you know. We tell everybody our problems. We're comfortable doing that.
You know, we just say what Robert says is, you know, we just tell people what we did.
That's it.
And then that disarms them.
That's right.
And they're unable.
He's a friend of mine. Dear friend. Dear friend.
They're unable to...
He does look a lot, especially in that photo.
Yeah.
And it was Bob Downey, Weird Science style Bob Downey is what he reminded me of. Kind of a little punk rock to him.
Like when he was the backup quarterback. And Johnny B. Good?
No.
I mean, he had some wacky hair and
too.
Yeah. So my brother and his fiance came over yesterday. Congratulations to them. They went to barbecues galore today to save on the barbecue aisle on
Way
Hawthorne in Torrance.
Way to
get
go.
A barbecue and patio furniture. So a big thank you to them. And I went to the challenge last night, Matt.
Kate saw you.
Yeah, on mute.
Didn't hear it, but he saw it.
Didn't see you. I didn't hear you.
And I was eating at Michelli's, my customary post-game pizza, at midnight after the challenge, and I ran into Terry Rose.
Is that right?
Terry Rose, who played with my brother and for my dad when I was the water boy at Rolling Hills High School. And we had a really sad that he looked 10 years younger than me, but black don't crack. But it was good to see Terry Rose. What?
The way Matt said, oh, really? Terry Rose.
Oh, really?
Ronnie and I were like, who the F is Terry Rose?
Matt might have thought he was like a running back or something.
Maybe I thought Charlie Rose.
He was a DB.
Like, man, he's been hiding from the media now for like a year.
He exposed himself to me, put his puto on my pizza. No, Terry Rose, wonderful to see him, and he had nice things to say about my dad as a coach. So. It was a wonderful weekend.
Yo.
Actually, by wonderful, I mean I woke up sick yesterday, and I'm pissed. We'll be
at
right
least
back.
The flight home was good.
Word number song of the day, NFL Talk.